Motocross and BMX racing. That's where my mind went when I started hearing from the Lord about this message and hearing from God about what he wants to say for the month of January. See, in motocross and in BMX racing, it's really important to get a good start. In fact, what you want to do is you want to get what's called the hole shot. And what the hole shot is it's the first person, it's the guy at the front of the pack at the first turn in the race. And what statistics show are that the racer who wins the hole shot, in other words, gets off to the best start, that they typically either win the race or almost always are on the podium. And so getting the hole shot is pretty important. How we start things in life really matters. A good start can ensure a good finish. How we start or how we launch into a new year can make a big difference also. I talked about it a little bit earlier. We can launch into the new year with stinking thinking, or we can launch into the new year with faith, with our eyes fixed on the God of the universe who created all things and has everything in his hands. But how we start this year off is going to matter. It's going to determine the level of peace that you have, the level of success, the amount of God stuff that you get to be involved in is going to be dependent on how you start this year out. And so as your pastor, what I want for every single person in this room is that you start your year out right. That's why we have that on the screen, right? Start your year out right. That's the title of the messages for this particular month, for January, which after January, just to give you a little teaser, we're going to be jumping into some expository teaching through the book of
Revelation.
Come on now, is that exciting? You don't hear that too often in church. That's unfortunate, but I love the book of Revelation. So that's where we're going, but in January, we're going to get started off in the right way. In God's way. I got a few questions for you. I want you to be honest, and I want you to feel free. You're among family. We love you. We aren't going to judge you too much. So be honest with these now. How many of you enjoyed great food for Christmas? I'm talking like cookies and pie and all the trimmings and fixings and all this. Now I got another question for you. How many of you enjoyed too much great food this Christmas? I mean, I'm raising my hand. I got both of them up, right? Too much food. Well, this is my segue into the topic this morning, and that is fasting. Ha ha! Fasting! So here's the title. Let's get a fast start to this year. Let's get a fast start to this year. We're going to start a year out right with a fast start, getting that whole shot position. Why do I see all the heads just nodding like you? Come on, laughter. You heard about it last week, right, Pastor Bob? It's good medicine, all right? Anyway, what is fasting? Fasting as presented in the Bible means not to eat. When we look at fasting in the Bible, it's people not eating food. It's an act of self-denial. Everyone's so excited about this, man. Self-denial, not eating food. David Early, he was one of my seminary professors. And in his book on prayer, he makes this statement. Dr. Early says that a summary of biblical teaching on fasting reveals it to be choosing not to partake of food because spiritual hunger is so deep. Determination and intercession is so intense, or spiritual warfare is so demanding that you temporarily set aside even fleshly needs to give yourself more wholly to prayer. Fasting. It's no joke. It's a pretty big-time serious thing. That's why we're going to start our year off right with a little bit of this. Self-denial, a little bit of this fasting thing that God has. Jesus said this. It's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for prime rib." No, he didn't say that. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's where their hunger is. That's what they're longing for, righteousness. And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus said, will be filled. Fasting is a form of hungering and thirsting for righteousness and getting filled with the very righteousness of Christ. Fasting. Deuteronomy 8, chapter 3, chapter 8, verse 3 says, man does not live by bread alone. And that surprises a few of us in the room. I get it. We live by hamburgers. We live by... Anyway, we don't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's where our real sustenance is. That's where the stuff that really matters is. That's where the stuff that's really going to make a difference in our lives. That's where the stuff that's going to help us get that whole shot, that start to this year, any season of our lives. It's when we live not on bread alone, but on the Word of God. The Word of God. So what is fasting? Fasting is saying to God this. It's saying, I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for you, God, and I would rather go without food. I'd rather starve myself than continue to go on the way that I am. Fasting is saying to God, it's saying, God, I'm desperate for you. I love you and I appreciate you, but I want more of you because I know there's more. And I'm so desperate for the more of you that I'm going to do this crazy thing that you talk about in your word called fasting. Fasting is also often a physical expression of our spiritual hunger, an expression of our longing for God. We want Him that bad. Fasting is an opportunity to tell our flesh, hey, look, you're not in charge. Take a back seat. I know you got a lot of power. I know that you can lead me around a lot, flesh, but in the end, you're not in charge, and I'm going to make sure that you remember that. Because God is God. Fasting is sometimes said to be that time when we starve the flesh and allow our spirit to be fed. But really, why fast? Do we really need to? Is it really that important? Is it really that significant in our lives? Or is it just some religious exercise that those super spiritual, crazy people do? So here's the big question this morning that we're going to answer, what God's Word's going to answer for us. And that is, why fast and why should we fast more? I'm going to cover five answers to that question. Why fast and why fast more? Just a note to everybody, when you speak and you use an iPad, put it in airplane mode so that people are not calling you on your iPad in the middle of your talk. Anyway, just thought I'd let you know that as I'm getting phone calls from somebody. Hopefully you're not out there. Stop saying that, Eric. Pick a different topic, not fasting. When are we going to do brunch for lunch again? Let's talk about that. The marriage supper of the Lamb. We're getting into that next month, all right, when we get into Revelation. All right. Why fast and why should we fast more often? Answer number one, because Jesus fasted. I closed the deal on that, didn't I, right there? Come on. Jesus fasted. It says this in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing. He fasted. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end, he was hungry. I bet he was. He was hungry. So why fast? Because Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, God Himself, He fasted. God came down on this earth, became a man, and He fasted. Jesus did. And if Jesus used fasting to beat back temptation, it says for 40 days he was being tempted. Scripture says that Jesus was tempted in every way, yet was without sin. Jesus, in the middle of this intense time of the devil coming at him, trying to derail him from his mission that he had to be the savior of the world, said, this is serious business. This is not time to mess around. This isn't time to roll the dice and just hope everything works out. No, this is a time to fast. This is a time to fast. Jesus fasted. If Jesus fasted to push back temptation, how much more do we need to use this temptation busting tool and weapon called fasting? Come on. How hard are we fighting back against the devil who's coming to rob, kill, and destroy? We got tools. The Lord's given them to us. Jesus used them. What a great example for us. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that God always gives us a way out. When we're tempted, you're not tempted in any crazy way like nobody's ever been tempted that way. But when you're tempted, it says that God always gives us a way out. And could one of the ways out be fasting? You think, but I just can't say no to this. It's just impossible. It's too big. Fasting? Jesus fasted when he was tempted. And he was without sin. The devil ran away with his tail between his legs. That's if you believe the devil had a tail. Whatever, all that stuff, right? Woo. Fasting is one of the ways out that God has given us. I love how at the end of this passage in Luke 4 that we just read about Jesus, he ate nothing for 40 days, and then it says that he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. He knows what that means to be hungry. Because he was a man. He put on flesh. He went through the things that we're going through. One of the ways that he made it through was he fasted. He sought the face of God. Cried out to him. Said no to his flesh. And yes to God. And yes, fasting will make us hungry, just like it made Jesus hungry. It will. But is that so bad? So wrong? No, because in the end, I tell you what, when you begin to engage in fasting and make it part of your life, what fasting makes you hungry for is not really food, but it's for more of God. That's what fasting makes you most hungry for. It's for more of God. So why fast, and why should we fast more often? Number one, Jesus fasted. The second answer that I'm going to throw out there is that fasting increases spiritual power. How many of you want a little more of that? A little more of that spiritual power. Fasting will increase your spiritual power. And that's a good thing. Because there's a lot of darkness in the world. And this world needs a church. It needs believers who are powerful in Christ Jesus, in the grace of Jesus Christ, to push back that darkness and make a way for them to come to the light of Christ Jesus. And fasting increases our spiritual power. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4 again, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee. This was after his time of fasting and being tempted and kicking the devil's butt and all that kind of stuff. He returned to Galilee, it says, in the power of the Spirit. He just fasted 40 days. He should be worn out. He should be finished. But he returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of God he returned, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. See, the power of the Spirit came upon Jesus after his intense fasting. When Jesus needed more power to fulfill the calling that was on his life, he fasted. I want to share one of my testimonies. Actually, I'm going to go to this other guy. There's a German street preacher, and his name is, let me read this here, Norbert Homuth. Anyway, that's his name. He's German, all right? I probably said it wrong. I butchered it, I'm sure. Sorry, Norbert. But anyway, let me tell you a little bit. He has some testimonies out there that I was reading online that were compelling. Kind of maybe make you want to jump on board with this whole fasting thing. He says, once when I fasted and prayed for 2 weeks, one night Jesus appeared in my room. That's pretty awesome. A bright shining light, brighter than the sun, filled the room. Jesus stood at the end of my bed, surrounded by wonderful brightness. The experience shook me so strongly that I thought I was floating on air while I walked. I can imagine it shook him. After 2 weeks of fasting, he begins to see God and hear from God in new, mysterious, pretty awesome, powerful, exciting ways. Now, God's not a genie, so it's not like if you fast, you know, you're rubbing the lamp and he's just going to pop out, you know, in some way. That's not how God works, all right? But when we seek him, God said that we'll find him. When we seek him with all of our heart, when we go after him intently, after him, not religious exercises or whatever, but when we go after him intensely, we will find him. Norbert said this shortly after this two-week fast, he did a five-day fast. He said, I started to pray in a strange new language during this time of fasting, and this language was unknown to me. It was the gift of speaking in tongues, which is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. A missionary from Rome discovered that I had spoken Italian, and he translated it. That's pretty exciting. After a seven-day fast, the Lord gave revival in Dayton, Ohio. I guess he came over the pond and did some ministry in Dayton. And the Lord gave revival in Dayton where many sick people were healed and many souls were saved. Again, coming out of this crazy, mysterious thing called fasting. But the Spirit of God came in power in and through this time of fasting in Norbert's life. So are you ready for more? Are you ready for more? Do you desire more of God? Do you desire to hear him and to see him in new and exciting ways? Do you desire more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life? Would you like to see more people being led to Christ, coming to salvation? Amen. I hope so. Well, then, this is a good year to start your year out right with some good old-fashioned Jesus-prescribed fasting. Fasting. So why fast? Why should we fast more often? Number one, Jesus fasted. Number two, fasting increases our spiritual power. And number three, fasting is a weapon of spiritual warfare. Fasting is a weapon. It's not a weakness. Fasting is a weapon. It's a powerful weapon. After Jesus' disciples unsuccessfully tried to cast out a demon, they came to Jesus and they said, well, come on, you said we can do this kind of stuff. You sent us out saying we're going to do this kind of stuff. We're going to cast out demons. We went for it in this case and we got smacked. Pushback, it didn't happen. What's going on? And Jesus replied, it's recorded in Matthew 17, verse 21. This is in the New American Standard. It says, Jesus said, this kind of demon, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Do we have strongholds in our lives that aren't moving? Are we fasting? Are there things that aren't changing? Are there things that continue to remain the same, that shouldn't remain the same, that need to be broken? Are we fasting? Are we praying and fasting? And praying, and fasting, and praying, and fasting. God's ways work. They work. Some things only happen when we pray and fast. I know some of you don't want to hear that, but it's just the reality. Some things only happen when we pray and fast. There are things that haven't happened because we haven't engaged with this other weapon of spiritual warfare called fasting. And I believe this can be a year of breakthrough. This can be a year of newness. This can be a year where things that have not fallen off will fall off. This can be a year of winning spiritual battles that have been going on even for decades, because this can be a year where we're going to engage in the fullness that God has for us. Prayer and fasting. And prayer and fasting. And prayer and fasting. All right. On a lighter note, I'm going to get a little bit of insight for us here about fasting from the folks at cartoonstock.com. I learned from Bob last week, a little laughter here. Here's some pictures from cartoonstock.com. Hopefully you can read them. First one says, fasting doesn't mean eating fast food. I will confess, on the way back from Mexico yesterday, I had a Big Mac. First time in like 2 or 3 years. It was delicious. Oh my. But that wasn't fasting. This guy's saying, let's ease into this. I want you to try fasting between meals. Okay. This guy's saying, the other guy said, hey, are you eating already? Oh, yeah, I fast really fast. All right, here's three pictures right here. You'll be in a lot of pain after your operation. Okay. Side effects of the general anesthetic can include vomiting, shivering, confusion, dizziness, headache. That's fine. And you'll need to fast for 6 hours before the operation. Say what, butcher boy? Are you crazy? Anyway, why fast and why should we fast more often? The fourth answer to that question is this. Fasting helps us make big decisions. How many of you ever have big decisions? Any decisions. Come on, we all have them. Big decisions happen. How about that? There's a bumper sticker. Big decisions happen. All right. Acts chapter 13, beginning of verse 2. While the church in Antioch, says while they, meaning the church in Antioch, while they were worshiping the Lord. Now, check it out. When you read the book of Acts, you always should be looking. When does God show up? What's going on when God shows up? So while this church in Antioch is worshiping the Lord and doing what? Okay, say it like you mean it. And what?
Fasting.
And fasting. It says that the Holy Spirit said, like, talk to the church. The Holy Spirit, God talked to the church while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. That's big time. That's big time stuff, right? The Lord said to them while they were worshiping and fasting, he said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So the Lord gave the church an instruction. He gave the church an answer to a big decision that they had. What do we do next? Who do we send? Where do we send them? How are we going to continue to grow the kingdom of God? So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. God helped them make this big decision. So you all raised your hands and you said you find yourself having to make big decisions from time to time. It happens, right? Here's what God would say. Are you fasting? Are you fasting? I've told this story before in the past. Some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. And I want to tell you a quick story about my first 3-day fast. And I remember the first time that I engaged in a 3-day fast, I thought I was going to die, literally die. I didn't get this big, this tall, this large, this handsome. Oh, wait, I don't need to say that. By not eating, right? So a 3-day fast. I felt the Lord calling me to a 3-day fast. I'm like, okay, God, I need your grace. I need your grace. And so I didn't think it was possible. Thought I might die. So at the end of day one, I was really, really hungry. At the end of day two, I had such a splitting headache that I just wanted to curl up and it just to be over. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was in a lot of pain. I know this isn't a way to sell fasting to the church and all that, you know, but I'm just being real with y'all. This was my first 3-day fast, and sometimes the first time you do something, it can be a little hard. You know, as you're starting to lift weights and starting to work out or starting to run a mile, that first mile that you that you end up running, that's the hardest one to run, right? So that first three-day fast, man, I was hungry, and then I had a splitting headache, and then at the end of day three, I'm like, oh, God, I feel great. I feel great. I feel like I'm almost floating around, man. I mean, I feel so alive, and so I'm driving to church. It's a Sunday morning. I'm driving to church early, and this was back before I was on staff. I was on a worship team back at church, and Velvet made me, because she knew it was a three-day fast, and it was time to break my fast. It was Sunday morning, time to break my fast. Break fast, breakfast. And she made me a bunch of little blueberry muffins. I love blueberry muffins. You're a really good baker, just FYI. Your pastor loves blueberry muffins, you know what I'm saying? And so she sent me to church with these blueberry muffins, and I'm sitting in the parking lot at church, and I'm looking at the muffins, and I'm like, I don't want to eat the muffins, God. I don't want this to be over. I feel like I've had this breakthrough. I'm at this place with you. I feel so different. I mean, God, you're speaking to me. Clarity is coming into my life. I'm understanding things from your word that I've been seeking to understand for so long. It's all coming together, God. I don't want to eat the muffins. I don't want to do this. I want to keep fasting. 3 days earlier, I'm like, oh, God, save me. Now I'm like, I don't want to stop. And the Lord clearly said to me, he said, Eric, eat the muffin. You did your three-day fast. Eat the muffin. Anything more than this is just religious, and I'm not in it. Just eat the muffin. I've taught you what you need to know. I've shown you what you need to see. Just how powerful this is. Eat the muffin. So I ate like all the muffins. You know what I'm saying? Ate them all. Ate them all. That's not the way to break a fast, by the way. But you know what? I do things unconventionally. Ate the muffin. You know, it was shortly after that three-day fast that we were at a prayer quake event. And, I mean, I was pressing into new things and deeper things with God, like fasting, not eating for 3 days, right? And being in his word for hours a day and just seeking him. And it was during that season when the Lord very clearly and supernaturally called me and my family to go to Ghana, Africa for a month and to live out in the bush, no running water, for a month. And God moved in powerful ways. It affected my family in so many meaningful, deep ways. To this day, my kids are not the same because of that experience. I'm not the same. We have an amazing relationship with a church in Ghana, Africa now, where we've planted churches, where we've been involved in crusades and people coming to Christ and baptisms, and it's been phenomenal. It's been incredible. And this God-sized stuff, this big stuff, coming out of seasons of pressing in and doing those crazy, mysterious, and things that people think are stupid, like fasting. More of God. Why fast? Why should we fast more often? The fifth and final answer is this: because fasting prepares us for the return of Jesus. Gets us ready for Jesus. Starts to set the table. When we clear the table, it starts to set the table for Christ and his return. Jesus told the disciples of John the Baptist, they were all confused. They were like, how come the disciples of Jesus aren't fasting? That's not fair. You know, can you hear him whining? That's not fair. John makes us fast like a lot because he's super intense, right? And Jesus, this miracle-working guy, Jesus, right, the Messiah, his disciples don't fast. And Jesus answered those disciples of John. He said, listen, when the bridegroom is here, why do you need to fast? I'm right here. You can touch me. You can talk to me. You can spend time with me. But there is coming a day, it says in Scripture, in Luke chapter 5, there is coming a day when the bridegroom will be taken away, when he will ascend back to his place in heaven at the right hand of the Father, where he is today, by the way, it happened, right? There's coming a day when the bridegroom will be taken away, and on that day you'll begin fasting again. Fasting as a form of crying out for the return. I need you here, Jesus. Come back, Jesus. It's a form of pleading and crying out for Christ to come back. Fasting is correlated with the return of Jesus. It's all throughout Scripture. I'll throw out some passages. You can look them up. Joel chapter 2, verses 15 through 18, directly correlate fasting, Jesus coming back. Luke chapter 2, verse 37. Luke chapter 5, that we were just in, verses 33 through 35. Fasting, preparing us, preparing the way for the return of Christ as we're crying out to him through this act of fasting, saying, come back, we need you, we want you, we love you. We're desperate for you. So fasting seems a little mysterious. How does not eating change anything? How many of us thought that back in the day when we started reading the Bible? We just came to Jesus, right, and we start reading this Bible, and we're kind of reading it. And you know what it's like in the beginning? Sometimes like 5 minutes into it, and you're like, I don't even know what I read. Does this make any difference? It's just a book. It's a bunch of words. Is this really changing me? You know, the person who led me to Christ, the person who's discipling me is saying, man, this is going to be the most awesome thing in your life. It's going to cause you to come alive, man. It's going to blow your mind. And you're reading it going, I don't get it. Most of you were probably there at some point, but as you continue in God's word, you see that it is alive and it's active and it's rocking your world and it's taking you from glory to glory to glory to glory as the word of God, the truth of God is coming in and completely transforming your life, right? And then you think the same thing with prayer back in the beginning. You're like, okay, I'm going to pray. And so you spend time praying and you're 5 minutes into prayer and your mind's going all over the place. You're thinking, I don't even know what I just prayed. And so how in the world could it have just mattered? And what's it doing? But you press in, you go, but God says prayer. God says pray often, pray continually. And so you keep going to that place of prayer. You keep digging. You keep persevering. You keep crying out to God. You keep learning and growing in the place of prayer. And next thing you know, you're like, I can't live without it. How can I go through this life without spending that time with God in the place of prayer? And then there's this thing called fasting. And you think, how can it really make that big of a difference? I want to challenge you. As big of a difference as the Word of God has made in your life, as prayer has made in your life, fasting can make in your life. It's a gift from God. It's a tool that he's given us to interact with him, to unlock things of heaven that are so mysterious. Fasting. I missed out a long time. 12, 13, 14 years of my Christian life without ever taking advantage of this gift that God had for me, fasting. And even preparing this message this week, man, I felt conviction that I got to fast more often. I got to spend more time seeking God in this way. And so I don't want to do this alone. See where I'm going? Woo! I love church. I want to offer up to my church family what I'm calling the whole shot challenge. Remember the whole shot from the beginning of the message there? The motocross, getting in front of the pack, you know, the first turn. The whole shot challenge. And here's what it is. You know, sometimes we'll do a 21-day Daniel-style fast. Not this year. This is what I'm feeling called for us to do. I'm feeling that we should, each one of us, take 1 day a week and fast. 1 day a week in the month of January. Test God. Try God on this thing. Fast 1 day a week. 24-hour period. Once a week. Fast. You can pick the day, but when you pick it, stick with it. Fast 1 day a week. Now, if you have medical conditions, you need to check with your doctor. Please do that. We don't want anyone being hurt. There's certain medications people are on. Sometimes you got to really be careful. So be careful, be smart, be wise, but also walk in faith. And I want to encourage you, if you're at all able, take up this whole shot challenge. Fast 1 day a week. Now, aren't you glad that I was sick yet last week? Because this message would have come last week, by the way. That would have been one more week of okay, I know you're not glad that I was sick, but you know what I'm saying. So you got like a one-week reprieve on this thing, which means some of you may need to go into February, and I'm hoping that all of us actually make this part of our lifestyle. Now, here's the rest of the whole shot challenge. You see it up there, point number two. The last week, the final week of January, I want to encourage some of you to go to a whole nother level. It's going to seem impossible, it's going to seem painful, But I'm going to tell you what, been there, done that so many times, it's all worth it. And I want to encourage you to dive into a 3-day fast the last week of this month. And what I want you to be focusing on, I want you to be pressing into that one thing that God has highlighted this month in your life. Maybe it was the thing that you brought up here on the Christmas Eve service that you gave to the Lord, that thing that you're giving to God, that gift, that area of your life, that relationship that you're giving to God. Maybe it's an area of breakthrough. Maybe it's some spiritual warfare that you're just ready for things to break, for things to change in your life. Maybe it's that big decision and the answer and the voice of God that you need to hear. Maybe it's a spiritual gift that you're longing for, that you've wanted for so long. And you're going to press into that. You're going to seek the Lord. You're just going to go deeper with God. You're going to long for His return, and you're going to long for His voice and His face even right now more and more and more in your life. Maybe there's something scripturally that you want to get your head around and understand at a deeper level. Fast and pray into that for those 3 days. But I want to encourage you to go for it. We have not because we ask not, right? I'll say this. We have not because we fast not. There are some things that we have not because we fast not. And so I want us to get a fast start. A fast start. Come on, that was that clever title, right? A fast start to this year. I want us to get the whole shot. I want us to get ahead of the game. I want us to be pressing into the Lord, and I don't want anything to catch up to us except for the presence and the glory of God this year. Let's stand up, church.